The book ends as it begins. The book begins with a reference to the unfinished work of Jesus Christ. And the book closes with the same flavor. Look at verse 30 and 31 of Acts 28. And Paul dwelt two whole years in his own hired house and received all that came unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. No man could stop Paul. You see, the Lord's work is not finished. The Lord's work is still going on.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people. Hello and welcome to our program today. I'm Andrew Fitton, the pastor of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, 1879 58th Avenue, Surrey. We give a warm invitation to you and your family to attend the Western Bible Conference in our congregation in Cloverdale from Friday the 31st of July through to Sunday the 2nd of August. The meetings will be advertised on our webpage, cloverdalefpc.ca. Do visit our page for the times of those services, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and our Facebook page as well will have the details of these meetings. During the month of July, we are sharing old messages from our conference with you here on our program. Today's preacher is Pastor John Greer from Northern Ireland, and his subject that he preached at last year's conference is entitled Christ's Continued Ministry. May the Lord bless his word to your soul today.
We're turning now, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts, chapter 1, to read just a few verses in this chapter. So please open up your Bibles and let's read together God's precious word. Acts, chapter 1, and reading from the verse number 1 of the chapter. The word of God says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Amen. And the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. The original recipient of the book of Acts is the same person who was the original receiver or recipient of Luke's gospel, a man of God named Theophilus. In Luke chapter 1 and verse number 3, Luke, the writer, states this: "It seemed good to me to write unto thee, most excellent Theophilus." And here in Acts 1 verse 1, we have this statement: "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus." And so it's obviously very, very clear that both books were originally written to this man of this name Theophilus. It is an illustrious name, very interesting name. Theophilus means loved by God. I know that some render it lover of God, but really the true meaning of that name is loved by God. And that is very clearly a phrase that is true of every Christian. Every child of God is a person who is loved by God. Every believer is a Theophilus. And you should remember that. You're not going to change your name, I know, but just think about it that way. Tell yourself today, God loves me. I am one of those who are loved by God. Theophilus received Luke's gospel, and because he was loved by God, God saw to it that he got more of the word. That's really what we can draw from this. God loved this man, and therefore, having moved Luke to write his gospel to him, and while that gospel, of course, went to the entire church thereafter, it was written to this man Theophilus, and he received the word of the Lord concerning Christ. And yet because God loved him, he wanted him to have more. That's always true. Because you are loved by God, he desires and he purposes that you will be taught more and more and more of the things of God. See that as your privilege, that you can receive more light and more knowledge, more understanding of divine things, of spiritual matters, of those great truths that are embodied in the Holy Scriptures. The verse here that we're looking at today, are these opening verses of Acts 1, only tell us about the man who was the recipient of this book, but they also tell us that the book of Acts is essentially the continuation of what we find in the Gospel of Luke. Look again at verse 1 here and the opening words. The former treatise. Literally, that reads, the first word. The first word. And that's a reference to the book of Luke. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus. And so he's referring there to the Gospel of Luke. And for Theophilus, that was the first word. And so now he's going to get, as it were, the second word, the second part, if you will, of what this man Luke wrote to him. And so interesting this is, that the first word had been given to this man Theophilus. That's the Gospel of Luke. The content of Luke is actually summarized here in verse 1. It says, the former treatise, the first word have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. And there you have a summary of what Luke's gospel is all about. It's all about that message of what the Lord Jesus began both to do and teach. But here is the second word, the book of Acts. And it's also about those things that the Lord Jesus Christ both does and teaches. And so the Gospel of Luke is complemented by the book of Acts. The same writer, the same recipient, and the message continuing that you have in the Gospel of Luke now here in the book of Acts. It's important to just note this, that what Luke's gospel presents about Christ is going to be further presented in this book of Acts. You see, that's really the character of all of the Bible. What you have at the beginning of Scripture continues to be unfolded the whole way through Scripture. What you have between these two books, Luke's gospel and the book of Acts, is really a template of the whole of the Bible. Because the whole of the Bible at its very beginning in Genesis begins to unfold the message of Christ, and that is progressively revealed and presented and set forth right throughout the rest of the Bible. And that's vitally important. For example, there will be those who will try to tell you that there's nothing about Christ in the Old Testament. And they could not be more wrong. Because the very first great gospel promise is in Genesis 3:15. It's all about Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman, bruising the serpent's head. That is called the proto-evangelium, the first gospel promise. And how rightful that title or that description is for Genesis 3:15. And thereafter, God begins to unfold what you have in Genesis 3:15. Progressively and gradually, he shows you more and more of Jesus Christ, right through the whole of the New Old Testament, and then into the New Testament, which is the continuation of what you have in the Old. And so what you see about Luke and about the book of Acts is really a template, as I say, for the entire Bible. You see, Christ is the theme of all Scripture. We're here this weekend to look at some of these things concerning him. We began last night about his great words before he ascended back to heaven and about the encouragement that is there with regard to the future of God's work. But God's work continuing on, in whatever generation it might be, continues on within the parameters of the Bible, within the context of Scripture. There's no continuation of the work of God in the church, in the progression of the church on this earth, outside of the Bible. It just cannot be. And so today we're coming to these opening verses of Acts chapter 1 to consider what is specifically a reference to the Lord's continued ministry in this world. And it's all presented to us here in these few words, especially in verse 1 at the end of that verse. All that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. There's a reference there, as I put it, specifically to the Lord's continued ministry. You can hear the implication that flows out of those words. All that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. But the inference is that it didn't stop there. He was taken up. He passed out of the view of the apostles. The rest of this chapter shows us this. He ascended up, but his work did not stop. And the wonderful thing is that you and I today, in our generation and in our churches, are as much involved in the continuation of the ministry of Jesus Christ as these apostles were. That is a thrilling fact. He says sometimes we have a very romantic view of the apostles. We think of them as some kind of supermen. Now don't misunderstand me. They were mighty men. They were men who sat at the Lord's feet. They were men who fellowshipped personally with Christ when he was on this earth. And that must have been wonderful. And therefore, for those reasons, we think of them highly and rightly so. Or we think of them with a view that is perhaps very romantic in essence. You know what I mean by that? They're special, they're lofty men and all of those things. Yet in the final analysis, they are just the same as you and me. They were only men with their weaknesses and their restrictions and their failures and their sins. And yet God used them mightily after the Lord had gone back to heaven. And he hasn't stopped doing that. And he will not stop doing that right through the rest of time until the Savior comes. And therefore we believe firmly that these verses are a platform upon which we can say something about the Lord's continued ministry in this world. So let's proceed with that today. And I want first of all to underline the confirmation of Christ's continued ministry. Look at verse number 3 and notice these words: to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Just take that phrase, many infallible proofs, because it refers to the confirmation of Christ's continued ministry. And when you think about the words carefully and study them and understand them, this is an infallible confirmation for one thing. It says he showed himself alive after his passion, that's his suffering, by many infallible proofs. The word showed simply means presented. And repeatedly during those 40 days, after he rose from the dead until he ascended up, the Lord Jesus Christ presented himself. He showed himself. He presented himself alive to his disciples in a manner that was incontrovertible by many infallible proofs. The word infallible, well, it means what you know it to mean. It signifies that which is sure, that which is positive. You see, the confidence of these men had been shattered. And I mean that. He's on the cross there at Calvary, and they all forsake him and flee. He rises from the dead. He had told them that he would do that, but they could not take it in. Even when the women came, and the women seemed to be more alert than the men, and you know, that's often the case in the work of God. And it certainly was the case in those days. The women were first to see the Lord alive, and they came running to tell some of these apostles, and even then, they couldn't take it in. They couldn't believe that the Lord was truly alive again. They were utterly shattered. It's very easy to fall into that state. I touched on that last night to some degree. And we see it inferred, at least in what we're noticing here today, that here are mighty men, men who knew the Old Testament, men who sat at the Lord's feet for 3 years, men who prayed with him, men who were told by him, here's your future, here's your commission. And yet, when the crisis came, they fell apart. And therefore, the Lord had to come to them, and he did come to them. And how gracious he was with them. And he showed, he presented himself to them as one who was alive from the dead by many infallible proofs. And therefore, this was an infallible confirmation that they received. They had no doubts after this presentation of himself, by him, himself to them. The doubts were away. Have you ever wondered, when you go through the book of Acts, on the frequency of the references to the resurrection of our Lord? They were continually preaching the resurrection. You see, my friend, this infallible confirmation is marked by the victory of Christ. He showed himself alive. There is the victory of our Lord. Victory over death. Victory over the grave. Victory over the unbelieving Jews. He handed him over to the Gentiles to have him crucified. Victory over Pilate. Victory over those who sealed the tomb. Victory over those who believed that the Lord was gone. And now he comes and he's alive again. And he proves it to the disciples. And thank God today you and I are living with that infallible confirmation of the Lord's continued ministry on the basis of his victory over the tomb, over the grave, over hell, over the powers of darkness. And we must not forget that. The Lord's work continues on that foundation, that solid foundation. You cannot get a more solid foundation than that foundation that Jesus Christ is alive and infallibly So, as is presented even in that victory of his resurrection from the dead, but there's not only the victory of Christ that belongs to this infallible confirmation, there's the voice of Christ. Because it says here, seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. You see that in verse 3 as well. Seen of them 40 days, and speaking, that is Christ speaking, of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And therefore the Lord spoke with these men. You have the voice of Christ there. They heard his voice. They received more truth from his lips. And now Theophilus has been told about this. But brethren and sisters, that is so important. And I wanted you to get a hold of this. Christ continues to speak. And he's continuing to speak today through the infallible book. I know with these men, he was with them in the flesh still in those 40 days. He's speaking to them directly and personally. They hear his words from his lips, but the truth that is there is simply this, that we have this infallible confirmation that God, that Christ's work continues on because of his voice coming through his own word to our minds and to our hearts and wherever it is preached. That is Christ speaking, just as if he were here on this earth. And so note that. We must grasp that in Scripture, Jesus Christ continues to speak. I will say a little more of that later, but we want this to be clearly understood. The Bible is complete. The canon of Scripture is closed. The Lord is not giving any fresh revelation. We have all that we need in the Bible. That is fundamental to true Christianity. And those who come along trying to tell you that the Lord is still giving more revelation are in error. And they are spreading error. Because it leads to all kinds of speculations. It leads to people thinking that they have heard voices, and one of them being the Lord's voice, that he's still speaking audibly and all of that. And my dear friend, that is not the case. I know the Lord speaks to us in the sense that he impresses upon our hearts and minds out of his own word what he wants us to know. Yes, we believe that. But the canon is closed. And we must stand on that foundation. Otherwise, we leave ourselves open to all kinds of delusions and all kinds of deceptions. You see, it is the truth. This infallible confirmation, only through the victory of Christ, but the voice of Christ, that gives authority to the pulpit. The authority of the pulpit is a vital matter. It was rediscovered by the reformers. That was part of what they unearthed out of all of the rubbish of Romanism. The Church of Rome then and to this day is still telling its people that she is the voice of God, that the church is the channel of God's message or God's word. That's what Rome still teaches. She still tells her people that they can't understand the Bible. And while there's that ecumenical deception that the people of the Church of Rome are able to read the Bible now, yet they are to go to the priest to get it interpreted for them. And he will interpret it according to the traditions of Rome, not according to the Scripture itself. This is a massive deception in our day and times, and we must make that absolutely clear.
Spurgeon brings us today to Exodus chapter 16, verse 21. They gathered manna every morning. Labour to maintain a sense of thine entire dependence upon the Lord's good will and pleasure for the continuance of thy richest enjoyments. Never try to live on the old manna, nor seek to find help in Egypt. All must come from Jesus, or thou art undone forever. Old anointings will not suffice to impart unction to thy spirit. Thine head must have fresh oil poured upon it from the golden horn of the sanctuary, or it will cease from its glory. Today thou mayest be upon the summit of the Mount of God, but he who has put thee there must keep thee there, or thou wilt sink far more speedily than thou dreamest. Thy mountain only stands firm when he settles it in its place. If he hide his face, thou wilt soon be troubled. If the Saviour should see fit, there is not a window through which thou seest the light of heaven, which he could not darken in an instant. Joshua bade the sun stand still, but Jesus can shroud it in total darkness. He can withdraw the joy of thine heart, the light of thine eyes, and the strength of thy life. In his hand thy comforts lie, and at his will they can depart from thee. This early dependence our Lord is determined that we shall feel and recognize, for he only permits us to pray for daily bread, and only promises that as our days our strength shall be. Is it not best for us that it should be so, that we may often repair to his throne, and constantly be reminded of his love? Oh, how rich the grace which supplies us so continually, and doth not refrain itself because of our ingratitude. The golden shower never ceases, the cloud of blessing tarries evermore above our habitation. O Lord Jesus, we would bow at thy feet, conscious of our utter inability to do anything without thee. And in every favour which we are privileged to receive, we would adore thy blessed name and acknowledge thine unexhausted love. Thank you for joining with us today. This is Let the Bible Speak, and we have come to the end of our programme. We trust that the Word of God has been a blessing to you and to your soul. Feel free to get in touch with us. Our contact details follow in the announcements. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. Join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.